peace to each and every one. Thank you for that singing. I had a song in my heart that I kind of wanted to sing with some of my thoughts, but I'm not able to retract it at this time, so I think we'll just leave it and see if the Lord brings it back at a different time in that way. So anyway, God's rich blessings of peace and love. Thank you all for your love for God, your lives. We think of you all very much and very often. This morning I would like to share some thoughts, though they seem a bit incomplete to me as of now, but hopefully I would like to share on some of the principles we find in the Bible, just a few, and I think they would help us apply to our dress, they would help us with music, they would help us in other areas of our life, some of these principles. So my heart is not to necessarily get all that practical this morning, but my heart is that the principles of God's Word would be alive in each one of our lives, and that we would be able to use them and build on them in our lives. So, sure, it doesn't really sound like a real exciting topic to you all this morning, but it is actually a big topic. It is in our day, there are so many people saying so many things by the way they dress that when you stop and ponder the confusion that comes just as you're sitting at the airport and you watch the people walk by, it is a maze of confusion. It really is. And may we continue to uphold principles from His Word in our lives. So why don't we just stand for a word of prayer? That would be a blessing. Father, as we bow, oh Lord, you see each one of our hearts. You see our lives. You see what is needed. You see there's eternal life. Heavenly manna is needed. There's eternal food. There's all these things that are needed. And yet, Lord, it's clear. It seems like you've laid some of these things on my heart. And Lord, you know how unqualified and how unable I am to even talk of these things in a godly way and to lift these principles up with life-giving enthusiasm to the sheep of your pastors, Lord. You know that I'm not able to do all of these things, so I feel like I have one thing to do, and that's look to you. Would you lead me this morning, Lord? Would you lead us together? Would you give me words? Would you give me unction? Would you give me clarity of thought and mind? And Lord, would the few little feeble things I have to say, would you help them make sense to these dear people? Lord, so thank you. Thank you for each and every one. Thank you for this service. Thank you for each and every one that is listening in. May you continue to form and shape and mold us as you, the Master Potter, sees fit. May our lives resemble what you desire that they do. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here today in their lives. It is amazing, the gifts, the talents, the qualities that each one has. Thank you, Lord. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Principles of biblical dress. You know, my thoughts turn to history. And there's actually a lot in history about dress. And we didn't pursue much of that. I think that this morning, I just want to start by saying, giving thanks for the clothes that we do have to wear. I believe they're a gift from God. clothes, biblical dress, does it really matter what I look like? Does my outward appearance, does it matter what we wear? Does it matter how we present ourselves to others? Does it matter? Does God care what we wear? Any thoughts? I saw this shirt, and there was a picture of a body laying in the middle of it, and there were people kneeling all around it. And underneath it said, "Let us summon demons. Let us summon demons." Is it possible that we can put on a shirt like that and be a true Christian? That is a conflicting message, isn't it, brothers and sisters? But that's the world we live in. That's what we face. We face this kind of confusion in our day. I have to think of these scriptures here as a foundation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I think God does care about our appearance. God does care about our dress. God does care about our conduct. We preach a powerful message. I had different accounts that came to my mind as I walked into places. And it just happened again here lately. And people see me and they let out a cuss word. And they say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I shouldn't have said that." Now, how did they know? It all goes together. Our outside and inside. It should be the same message. It should not be confusing. It's important. It's powerful. You know, I'm not sure, but many people never heard the gospel. But what if someday God holds someone accountable just because they saw a Christian that was dressed in godly attire that reflected God? I think that's almost enough for someone to have been presented with God in the gospel. And I know we can take that too far. Our burden is the life of Jesus Christ in our midst. Our purpose is life. The life of God. And we know that dress itself cannot bring that life. We know that life is we're born into the kingdom of God. There's no other way in. We can't dress our way into the kingdom. We know that we know that you can dress just as perfectly as you want and go to hell. We know all of that. Yet on the other side of it, it is not fitting for someone that professes God and His holiness and His righteousness and lives and appears like something else on the outside. It is not becoming. It is not, the two do not go together. I do want to say here at the beginning as well that I want our hearts to be open to God's leading and to some of the principles we share. We're not encouraging. Our heart is not that everyone dresses just like the people did where we came from. That is not our message today. That is not our heart. But that our heart would be that we would seek to dress, that to appear in our appearance like Jesus Christ would if He was here on earth. May that be some guiding principles. There's things that could be said about cleanliness, you know. It's been said over and over. I've heard it over and over growing up that cleanliness is right next to godliness. And I'm not sure if there's a scripture, I haven't been able to necessarily bring one to mind, that says that exact same thing. But I do know that Jesus' heart was that we are clean. And Mark there, it says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean." And he did that over and over. So his heart is that we're clean. And I think cleanliness can be right close to godliness in our lives. And that covers many areas with of our life and conduct. So as we think of that. I also, not sure how I'm coming across here, but I have a book that I read, and I've talked about it before. The title of it is The Prince of the House of David. And it's a young lady that is giving accounts when Jesus first appeared and John the Baptist, and she's writing home to her father, and she was Jewish. And all the way through that book, I didn't find anything that disagreed with Scripture. There's things in it. It's not the Bible. We don't live on it. But in that book, it was really interesting to me that there was mention made that Jesus was dressed in blue. And I'm not lifting up blue hair above other colors. It's not my heart. But it gave me a lot to think about. Blue seems to be a kind of a color that doesn't make a lot of hard and fast statements one way or the other. It's probably kind of more of a neutral color. And I'm not lifting that up and putting other colors down. You know, God made the grass and God made other colors. And I tend to not get all hung up on wrong colors, but we do know that there are colors that represent different things in our society. But as we go here, if you're hearing me say that we all need to dress like some old order group, that is not my heart either. One of the things that I had to think about, and this probably not, I think I might just skip this story here. Again, the culture that we live in, it seems like it's increasing. Everyone wants, when it comes to representing God, the attitude is, you can't tell me what to do. But as I sit and ponder, I'm amazed at the special care that is given to everyone's appearance, the time and the money and the effort that they put into making sure that people know what I like and that people know what I represent. There's a phenomenal amount of effort. So we have the hipsters and we have just all these different groups. I don't even know who they are. You know way more of them than I do. But there's special care given so that when you see them, that you know who they are and what they represent. There's a lot of effort put into that, and I just want to think of that. I had to think of the story some time ago. I heard of this truck driver that I didn't realize it, but I guess when you're driving a semi and you're past your hours of being legal on the logbook, then there's a fad, you turn your hat backwards so that the other drivers know that you're driving illegally. Is that right? Has anyone heard of that? I heard of it, and I was amazed. There was this driver that did that. He had his hat backwards, and well, the DOT pulls him over and gives him a ticket. I'm like, what? What would cause someone to let everyone else know that he's driving illegal? I don't understand what could be in us as humans that would possibly do that. Some of my musings I don't understand. There's many things I don't understand, but to let everyone know that I'm driving illegal and to let the law know as well, that was really interesting. As we had started sharing, the effort that goes into people's appearance to make sure that they know, hey, I'm this. But then we as God's people, I pray and ask for a little more security in my life and all of us together, a little more settledness, that we as God's people sometimes can be weak and cowardly and subtle. In subtle ways, we want to hide who we are, or we don't. Sometimes, do we ever find ourselves in a situation where we kind of wish people wouldn't know I'm a Christian? I'm not sure if I can relate to that. But I would like for these thoughts today to at least bring a security and a settledness of who we are and why we do some of the things we do. That would be a blessing. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. Now, at the beginning of the Bible here, we see clothes were on God's heart for Adam and Eve. God helped Adam and Eve with what they wore. We have that scripture here later. In Genesis here it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. I think that was a loving, kind, very loving, kind gesture that God did for Adam and Eve. He gave them instruction. We don't know what all happened there. The Bible's kind of vague. But somehow, God gave them direction, and he helped them to make coats of skins from animals and clothe themselves. And so the whole idea of us dressing comes from God. I think that's a principle that we should consider. It's not something that the devil came up with, and it's not something that's left up to each of us to do as however we think we want to. It's not a freedom that we can just do with what we want. This idea of humanity putting on clothes comes from God. It was born with him. He's the one that gave our first ancestors the direction that he did, and he's the one that helped them do it. And I think that puts us under obligation to seek godly principles of dress for our own life as best we can. Have to reflect on the life of Jesus. We don't know exactly how he dressed in his day. We see different pictures. I tend to feel like many of these pictures are probably not real accurate. But I don't think that God's heart is that we dress exactly with the same kind of robe and clothing that Jesus did. I think God has principles in his word he wants us to use to dress in a way that is pleasing to him, in a way that honors him. I had to think of these words here. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we read these words, one thing we can gather from these words is Jesus did not dress in a way where he stood out. He did not make a statement with his dress. He did not do that. He was meek and lowly in heart. One of the first things we'd like to consider this morning, when you get dressed, who are you trying to represent with the way you dress? I think it's easy for us to get up in the morning, to put our clothes on, and to not think about. Now, I do want to say that this is something that I have spent time seeking the Lord and prayer, especially in my early walk. And there's values and ideas I had in my early walk that I don't appreciate today anymore. But I would like to plant in each one of your minds that tomorrow morning when you get up and put your clothes on, that you give the thought that you are representing God today to the fullest measure possible and to your utmost ability. When people see you, you want them to be reminded of God himself and not something else. Not. I do want to say that I feel like, I hate to use this word, but if our heart and focus is to represent an old order group, I believe that that can tarnish the image of God. I believe that can tarnish, because it helps when we're representing that, especially in the area here, there's a lot of disrespect and ungodliness, and there's things that a lot of people, I'm not sure how to say it. I hate talking about it, but There's a bad light and a bad, there's disrespect, and there's things here in our community with an old order group that I believe that our heart is not to represent them or to have people associate us with them necessarily. I believe that it can tarnish the testimony of God. I think our heart should be to represent God Himself as best we can, in every way we can. But to represent God, I'd like that to be the first principle this morning that we throw out here for you all. When you get up in the morning, you think about that. May God do that in our heart on a daily basis. That it is God. I want people to see. Even I'll never be God. That's not my heart. But when people see my life, my appearance, the way I conduct myself, I want them to be reminded of Jesus Christ. That should be a principle that we take from God's Word. As the Corinthians here says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And 2 Corinthians 5 says that we're ambassadors for Christ. When you're an ambassador, you're representing Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So that would be the first principle. One of the questions that come to me is, you know, are we okay with everyone knowing that we are a Christian? You know, sometimes there's shame. I mentioned it earlier. Sometimes there's shame that can come in. And may God help us. Jesus says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So, that's kind of out of place here. We talked about it a little earlier. But there's a scripture with that we would not let the pressures of society change what we put on in a wrong way. I don't think that would be God's heart. Who are you trying to please with your dress? Are you dressing for yourself? Is it the image? What is the image you want to leave with others? Are you trying to let some people know that you're a cool person? You're acceptable, or that you're attractive, or that you're available, or, you know, the message can go on and on. These can be attitudes that are in my heart that affect how I dress myself without me really realizing they're there. Who are you trying to please with your dress? Are you trying to please God? Are you trying to please Jesus Christ? It will make a difference when we go to the store. It will make a difference with how we sew. It will make a difference. Who are we trying to please? You know, we live in a day where there's so much caught up. I couldn't completely understand it, and I'm not sure who this happened to. But in Spanish, Brother Dale Heisish, in the meetings in Bolivia there, he shared this account. And I don't know if it happened to him. Or I couldn't get the whole thing, but I got this. I'll share what I got of it. There was this man, and the way he was dressed, it was a godly man. And this woman walked up to him, and she said, "Sir, it is obvious you are a man of God. It is obvious that you love God. But I have a question for you. I know that you would never do this, but if you was to get divorced and remarried, would you choose a woman that had a thin body or a woman that had a fat body?" And whoever this was said, "Whoa, whoa, there's serious problems here. This is a very wrong question. We don't get married to a body. We get married to a person. We get married to a person." But that, I want to use that point to illustrate today that that's what's happened. Is everyone, it's like everyone is so possessed with body, with their own body and with other people's bodies, that the person isn't even distorted. It's not right. We don't get married to bodies, we get married to people, to persons. May we remember that as we prepare our body, as we adore our body. I'm not sure if that makes sense to you all. But, again, who are you trying to dress? Who are you trying to please? The Bible tells us, here's the principle. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever we do in our appearance, it should be to please Him. May God help us in that way. There should be a distinction between the next principle. There should be a distinction between our dress and the way the world dresses. All the way through the Bible, God has wanted a people, and He's given them specific direction that if they do these things, they will be His people. And the minute they did not do these things, it was Ichabod. The glory of God departed. And so we have that same principle in the New Testament here. That Romans, we'll share some of these scriptures. We'll share the scripture here. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. There's many thoughts here. You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. The Bible teaches us very clearly that if we love to dress like the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Now, I know that we have there's just a principle there that we want to keep in mind as we think of biblical dress. Does that mean that we have to identify with cults and other things? That I don't think it does. But if every fad that we find going through the world, like the baggy pants, I have just amazed. You know, I used to have to wear pants that were too big for me when I was little, and that was a torment. Now I see these young boys walking down the street and their pants are falling down. When every one of those fads that are in the world end up in my life, I'm saying you're not using biblical principles to dress your body. That is what I'm trying to say. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And it makes it really clear. And there should be a distinction. When we walk through the airport, I don't think that we're not trying to do things that stand out, but we also shouldn't look just like everybody else looks. Maybe I shouldn't say that. If we dress in a godly way, we will stand out, because hardly anyone else does, I guess is how we could say that. It's not like we want to. Anyway, our clothing and appearance should show that we are separate from the world. That is one of the principles in God's Word that are clear, that help give us guiding direction for biblical dress, for biblical appearance in our lives. Our clothing should reflect God's ownership of our bodies. God owns my body. My body is God. My body is a living sacrifice. As Romans here says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. These two words here again are, the conformed is pressed, and the transformed is more of a surrenderedness to allow God to lead and guide us in all areas of life. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number four, our clothing should provide spiritual, moral, and physical protection. Our clothing is designed by God to protect us physically, spiritually, and morally. We live in evil times. Our clothing should bring security and protection to our physical bodies. That was God's intent with the skins. I believe Adam and Eve were secure in the clothing that God gave them in that day. And our clothing should do the same for us. We shouldn't, if you put something on and there's a check in our spirit, we should take it back off. It should protect us spiritually, morally, and physically. Our clothing and appearance should hide and cover and conceal, not reveal. I thought there's an account in the Martyr's Mirror, and I wasn't able to find it. But there's this young sister that was being persecuted and tortured. And she begged her persecutors to not lift her skirt, to not reveal any of her... That's the Spirit of God, is to cover, conceal, protect, hide. The Spirit of our day is to reveal, to show forth. God's nature is hidden. There's so much that God could Himself stand here and declare about Himself physically. There's so many ways He could expose Himself. But that's not the way we know God. God is hidden. He's not noticed. It's those that seek Him that find Him. He doesn't press Himself on anyone. And it's a very different spirit that wants to be seen and noticed and wants to use our apparel to make that statement and our attire to be noticed and seen. Brothers and sisters, it's a principle that is, it's a biblical principle to conceal and cover. It's a godly principle. Our clothing should not bring confusion. Brothers and sisters, the name of Jesus Christ is blasphemed today. The things that are being said that I believe and the things that are being wore are in direct opposition, and it brings a message of deep confusion to the world, mass chaos to those souls that do not know God. The way we dress should communicate a clear message and give direction to everyone. You know, I'm not a woman, and I shouldn't put anything on that makes me appear like a woman. I'm not part of this world system and its ideals. I do not worship the devil. My soul is not for sale. I am a child of God. I completely embrace the principles of God's kingdom. And our dress and our conduct and our appearance should be in line with that message. That's a principle, a biblical principle that God has for us. Another principle in the Bible is the Bible forbids men wearing women's clothes, and it forbids women wearing men's clothes. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." God has strong words about that. In Zephaniah 1:8, there's an interesting scripture here as well. It talks about strange apparel. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed in strange apparel." It's a word of judgment from the Lord. All that are clothed with strange apparel. Back in biblical times, it was common for the heathen. Men, when they worshipped idols, they had different idols they worshipped. When they did this, they would put on women's clothing. And that's something God hates. And again, it doesn't need to be said, but there's so many times in our day when someone walks up, I'm trying to figure out, are they a man or are they a woman? There's almost no way to know. It's confusion. And that's not God's heart. He made us and gave us the bodies we did, and He wants us to be clear in the message that we give to others as who we are and who we represent. Our clothing should help us avoid sin. Our clothing should protect us, as we've said. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life, life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Our clothing should help us avoid sin. Modesty is an issue of the heart, and our attitude towards it reflects our attitude about holiness and about God. Modesty and the heart are tied together. I don't think you can separate them. Our clothing and appearance should make others conscious of God. Our clothes should represent the righteous and holy God that He truly is. I think that's another biblical principle. Isn't that a blessing that we have the opportunity as we live our life to make other people conscious of who God is? It's a privilege that we have that I thank God for. And I thank God for for that privilege. May we continue to do our best with that. Jesus talks about sheep and wolves' clothing. And there's things, thoughts there that I think we'll just leave. Scripture to go here with the last principle of our clothing and appearance should make others conscious of God. Proverbs says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. A heart and mind to dress the way we picture that Jesus would dress in our day and our society. As we've said before, our clothing should fit, not too tight and not way too loose. We talked about that before. Scripture here to go with that principle. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In Philippians 4:5. I can't help but just let you all think about a little bit, and hopefully it doesn't affect us too much, but the discontentment in the way that God has made me. I see all the hair that's paint, that's dyed, you know, a different color, purple, and all the different operations that people have to just change their bodies a little bit. And I just had to think about, you know, somehow at a young age, I lost a lot of my hair. And I've accepted that, you know, and I laugh with people. But deep down, I would kind of like to have hair, you know. But what I can't relate with is these people that have hair and shave it all off. I can't relate to that, honestly. I don't know what spirit that is of. Because I would appreciate God seeing it different, so I receive it gladly. But now someone that has it shaves every bit of their hair off, or else cuts it so short that you don't see much of it. And honestly, that's something I can't relate to. I don't understand why someone would do that. I really don't. The color of the hair. All of the things that are done to change the way that God really made me. Brothers and sisters, let us think of that. Let us think about it. God made each of you beautiful and unique in your own way. And He has many gifts and qualities that He put in your life. And I think we need to be content with the way God made us. Now, I know there's work I have to do with what I eat, and there's things that I have to work on. There's things I can do to help my appearance to be more godly that I have filled in a lot. But it's self-worship. And it's one of the signs of the end of times. It's worshiping self, as the Bible says. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And brothers and sisters, I think it's discontentment, and I think it's an affront to God when we can't take care of our bodies the way God gave them to us, and when we can't leave our hair the color it was, when we can't leave our bodies the way God made them, I think it can be a direct affront to God. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's godly to do that. The 11th principle here that we're going to share on biblical dress, principles of biblical dress this morning, is may we always be clothed in attire that would be fit for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Brothers, He is going to return. Acts 1. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. May we always be found clothed in attire that would be fit to go to heaven in, where God is, where the angels are around His throne day and night saying, Holy, holy, holy. It's a principle, brothers and sisters, in the Bible here. Clothing that is fit for heaven. Jesus talked about soft clothing and soft raiment in Matthew. And if you're keen to the spirit that He said it in, He wasn't advocating silk and soft raiment. Silk is mentioned in the Greek word of this definition. I don't want to say a lot about it, but I'll just read these words and you can catch Christ's heart just in the way He asked the question. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Silk and all these really soft materials, brothers and sisters. I know that I just want God to lead us. I'm not speaking into any situation here necessarily, but I do think that we have a church here that cares about being dressed biblically, and that's not why I'm sharing this. I think it's something we want to continue to seek God and strengthen in our midst. And I think these principles are important that we teach them to our children. Again, the message. What is the message that I am preaching with my life? It's something that I think about. I think we should think about. I think here's just an account of James. It's what I understand, it's the same man that wrote the book James here in the Bible, and he was a pillar in the church. And I'd just like to read this account. James the Lesser was a son of Alphaeus and Mary Cephas, sister to the mother of Christ. He is called the Lord's brother. After proper instruction, he was ordained as an apostle by Christ and sent out to minister to the Jews, wherein he acquitted himself well until Christ's death. After that, he with others was sent to preach the gospel, which he did in the Jewish church. And although Peter and James and his brother John, of whom the last mentioned, two were the sons of Zebedee, were regarded as special apostles, he was nevertheless considered to be one of the three pillars of the church after the death of James, the son of Zebedee. He was appointed by the apostles the first overseer of the church at Jerusalem. This was shortly after the death of Christ. This office he discharged faithfully for 30 years, converting many to the true faith, not only through principally by pure doctrine of Christ, but also through his holy life, on account of which he is called just. It says he was steadfast and holy, a true Nazarite, in dress as well as in all manners of life, and he prayed daily for the church of God. I have to think of this scripture here that Jesus shared in Matthew. He says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As I think of this subject, I think there's many principles that we could take and make practical applications to from this verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Even as the light of a candle is improved by trimming it, so if we would in our short time trim our body in word and deed from our carnal body, in words and in works, yea, in dressing and in worldliness, then our light would certainly be found to give forth a clear light. And may that be our heart, continue to shine forth the clear light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that is confused and lost. that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Some precious words from Philippians there. Again, just a few principles that came to my heart. When we get dressed, who do we represent? Who are we trying to please with our dress? Ourselves? Is there an image we're trying to leave? We should dress with a standard that is distinct from this world. Our clothing should provide spiritual, moral, and physical protection. Our clothing and appearance should hide, cover, and conceal, not reveal. Our clothing should not bring confusion. Our clothing, we should not wear, the Bible forbids men wearing women's clothing and women wearing men's clothing. Our clothing should help us avoid sin. Our clothing and appearance should make others conscious of God. Our clothing should fit, not too tight and not way loose. May we always be clothed in attire that would be fit for the second coming of Christ. Clothing that would be fit for us to go to heaven in. May God help us do that. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for allowing us to share our heart today.